Now to my guest. When a flurry of UFO sightings and strange lights were seen last March by thousands of people in Phoenix, Francis Barwood insisted that the government find out the truth. Now, at the time, Barwood was a Phoenix City Councilwoman, and she heard from thousands of her constituents about the strange lights. At a council meeting, she asked officials to investigate. At first, the reaction was that of jaws dropping. Later, the official reaction turned to scorn, ridicule, and even harassment. Still, Barwood keeps hearing from citizens, some of them high-profile members of the community, who have seen other strange phenomena and have talked to Barwood in confidence. Barwood retired from the Phoenix City Council after serving 6 years. She is currently running for the Republican nomination for the Arizona Secretary of State that's going to occur later this year. And she does not shy away from discussing the UFO issue. Tonight, we're going to find out what the results have been. It's my pleasure to welcome Frances Barwood to the program, who joins us from her home in Phoenix. Good evening, Frances.
Good evening.
Thanks for being on the program with us tonight.
Oh, my pleasure.
Now, first of all, let's put things in their proper perspective here. How much of your campaign really deals with UFOs?
Well, actually not anything. What I'm dealing with is government accountability to people. This happens to be one of the issues in that.
Uh-huh.
And I really find it difficult that, you know, here we have a bureaucracy that we pay for. You know, we pay their salaries,
mm-hmm.
and they're not accountable to us. And something obviously did happen over Arizona last March. Whatever it was, traveled over 400 miles, was seen by thousands. They all described a very similar object, and the government has said that they don't investigate. And I find it hard, you know, in these days of terrorism and all that, that they wouldn't even be concerned at all.
Of something that travels that many miles through the sky, of course, and is unknown.
Right.
For the audience who may not know what happened in Phoenix, kind of give us a kind of an overview of what took place, you know, with the lights and everything that that took place there in March that happened.
Well, I didn't see anything. I've never seen anything. But I came home that night about 10 to 10 and turned on the 10 o'clock news. And saw the news announcer saying, it was a woman that I was watching.
Right.
Saying something about, you know, hey, folks, you know, there was some really interesting things out there. And, you know, what were these lights that were over Phoenix tonight? And I kind of thought at the time that it was probably an airplane off course or something. And, you know, thought, like most people, I guess, well, they'll check it out and we'll know what it is. It wasn't until May that I was stopped on my way into a Phoenix City Council meeting, which happened to have been our televised Tuesday meetings, and it was the Extra TV crew, and the woman reporter, whose name is Cindy, said, could you talk to us for a minute? And I said, okay. And she said that they had tried to talk to every level of government, including Phoenix, and nobody would talk to them, or they told them that, you know, they were not investigating these lights over Phoenix. And I had, you know, this was a month or so later, and I had really not thought about it. And I said, you know, well, what lights? And she said, the ones that happened last March. And I was really surprised that nobody was looking into it. So she asked me if I would find out why. And I went into our council meeting, and we get a part of our policy session. It's called council request, and we're allowed to ask anything. So I said, I told him about this TV crew and all, and I said, since nobody's looking into it, could we find out why? And there was silence. Now, normally when I ask a question, they'll say, oh, okay, you know, we'll check out. But nobody, you know, it was like silence, and I thought, okay, you know.
Uh-huh.
So they went on with the meeting, and after the meeting, one of the deputy city managers said to me, you shouldn't have asked that. And I said, why? And he said, well, they didn't want to deal with it. You kind of opened Pandora's box. And I said, why? And he said, well, the mayor's office apparently had issued a statement back when this first happened that there are no UFOs over Phoenix. Well, I didn't know that because nobody had told me that.
Right.
And I really wasn't paying attention to the news reports at the time.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, so, you know, being a little flippant at times, I said, well, if there aren't any UFOs, I guess he must have identified them. So what are they? And that didn't go over too good. So I asked him if he could find out why they were so upset and why nobody was dealing with this. And he said he'd try. And unfortunately, he died a week and a half later from a heart attack. And I never did find out what he found out, if he did at all. But, you know, it just seemed to, at that point, accelerate. I didn't realize that from day one, I was kind of the butt of some jokes, and the mayor and his press secretary had printed up business cards that they were handing out to people, unbeknownst to me, that had my name on it. It said, Frances Emma Barwood, from the Panathenon, speak into the tinfoil, and she will hear you. And one of the staff members gave me one and said, you need to know what's going on.
I guess.
And I was like, why? You know, like, to me this was so strange, you know, that there would be such a reaction like this.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seemed to continue from there on. There was an article done on May 10th, which was that Saturday, and it was a pretty good article that appeared in the paper. I started getting phone calls from 7 o'clock in the morning till late that night from people all over the valley who saw whatever this was. And I realized that, you know, obviously something pretty phenomenal happened. And nobody was even curious.
Nobody officially was curious.
Nobody officially was curious.
Right.
And I couldn't understand why, because, you know, coming into it kind of sideways, I was pretty darn curious. But it seemed like everybody seemed to be afraid of even talking about it.
Now, let me interrupt right there, Frances, and ask you, do you feel that this smear campaign that was launched against you, was this something that was maliciously done in a way to maybe discredit you, or was this, you know, kind of like a, like around the office kind of joking kind of thing?
Well, it went more than just the office. I mean, it was...
This was widespread.
This was pretty widespread, but I, you know, I, looking back on it, I think really that the reason was because of fear. If you don't want somebody to deal with something, you make it something that...
Laughable.
So pretty uncomfortable.
Laughable.
Yeah, and over these last several months, you know, I've you know, gotten quite an education. Prior to this, I didn't even look into anything to do with unidentified objects anywhere. But since then, I found out that not only, you know, have things happened here, they've happened all over, and the reaction in the United States has been the same. It's, you know, anybody that brings it up is labeled automatically as, you know, wacky and
a kook
and all that. And yet in other countries, it's apparently very openly discussed, and, you know, the natural curiosity is out there.
Well, for the record, Frances, you don't sound like a kook to me.
I'm too old to be a kook.
Okay, now, let's go back to this a little bit, flesh a little bit more of this out. Was it the mayor that dies of the heart attack?
No, it was one of the deputy city managers.
One of the deputy city managers. Now, in what proximity to all of this that happened to you did your former governor, Fife Symington, go and pull his stuff?
Well, that was another really surprising thing, because I knew Fife Symington pretty well.
Right.
And we would talk occasionally. He was under charges at the time. It was 23 charges of fraud.
Mm-hmm.
Not to do. It was prior to him being a governor. And, you know, this whole thing was so strange. But one day he held a press conference. It was, I think it was in August or beginning of September. And it was around noon. And he held a conference that said, he said that he had gotten many phone calls from people about the fights that passed over the valley, and that he was going to launch an investigation. It was very serious, and he is a very serious man. He's, you know, not known for being flesh. He's kind of dry humor, you know, dry sense of everything. And then I had several phone calls, so I called up his office, and I spoke to his secretary. And I said to her, you know, everybody's really excited that he's going to look into this. You know, I really appreciate it. Can I talk to him? And she said, well, he's back in federal court. And I forgot that he was, you know, going through the court trial. And I said, well, when you get back, would you have to call me? So she said, sure. Not a word of anything else. Well, then, at the clock, my husband and I were sitting watching just the beginning of the 5 o'clock news, and they said there was an emergency press conference called by the governor. And I said, oh, I wonder what's going on. And so he comes out. The news media was all there. And he said that he had done this investigation, and they caught the perpetrator, and out walks this guy dressed in an alien and a costume. And it was like, what? Now, Fife is definitely not known for any sense of humor. So this was kind of...
This is really out of character.
So far out of character that if somebody told me he was going to do this, I would have bet not.
Well,
and it was bizarre.
Francis, let me interrupt right there. We're going to take a break.
Okay.
When we come back, we'll get more into this. This is a very, very interesting story. I guess we should maybe be addressing this as possibly Phoenix Gate. Welcome back. My guest tonight from Phoenix, Arizona, is the former city councilwoman, and she's now running for the Arizona Secretary of State position, Frances Barwood. Frances, I would like to find out, it's my understanding that you heard from a high-profile member of your community, who a top-level executive. This person took you into his confidence about a sighting that was so strange that it literally stopped traffic.
Right.
Well, tell us about that.
Well, he was traveling from Tucson up to Phoenix and along I-17, and he said that he saw this object coming. He pulled his car off the road. Everybody else that was traveling also did that. They got out of their cars. They were standing there. They just were in awe. And of the hundreds of people that I've talked to, they all described the same object, and none of them said they were frightened. They all said they were awestruck. They were astounded. They were amazed. They had a change of feeling in their body. You know, they just, some of them said it's totally changed their lives.
Sounds like almost like a religious experience.
Well, I guess it was something pretty phenomenal, and you know, they all described something that was so huge. They said between a football field length and a mile wide, that it was very low, somewhere between 1,000 and 5,000 feet elevation. That it was boomerang shaped. That it had between 1 and 9 lights, sometimes off, sometimes on. That it moved very slow. It was totally silent, that it was, they all felt that it was trying to be obvious, and it traveled from northern Arizona, from, first sighting was around a town called Paulden, and went through Prescott Valley and Dewey and Mayer, and then down to northwest Phoenix, across Phoenix, over the airport, Sky Harbor, and down to Tucson, and was seen by a commercial pilot about to take off. It was seen by the flight controllers. They said they could see it, but they couldn't get it on radar. People that lived down by the airport thought a plane was going to crash. One man grabbed his wife and pulled her out of the house and was waiting for this plane to come down when it just kept going along and went over where they lived. And he said it was the most incredible thing he's ever seen. I talked to doctors and lawyers and teachers and police officers and pilots and retired military and retired pilots and a little league coach that, you know, his whole team, their parents, everybody saw it. People going in and out of shopping centers. People, there were a lot of people out that night looking for help up. Joggers. It just goes on and on. I mean, these are credible people. And, you know, it's obvious to me that they did see something, and it just is amazing that nobody wants to even deal with it.
Well, I'm curious, are you able to say who this top-level executive was?
No, I promised him I would not give his name, and the reason is he was afraid that he'd lose his job, and he's a vice president of a major company.
You know, this is interesting, because it would seem to me that as many people that have seen this thing or whatever it is, I don't understand why you're taking so much heat.
Well, actually, actually, neither do I. And I guess, you know, it was kind of put in the right perspective by a reporter who's on the Channel 3 here, Jana Bumisbrock. She did a commentary and the day after I announced officially, and she said, and I was beaten up in the paper big time. I mean, they called me insane. One of the reporters called me insane. Another one said I was, you know, totally wacky and, you know, for what? For just asking our government, you know. So she said part of what she said, and I'll paraphrase it. She said it's kind of like whistling in the dark. If you laugh at something and ridicule it, then no one will suspect that you're really afraid of what the answer might be.
That's very interesting. Yourself, you said before this you never had any interest in the subject of the UFO thing.
No. Didn't even own a book on it. That practically a library.
And now you're smack dab in the middle of this huge controversy. I'm curious. Now, you're still hearing about sighting reports and concerns from people on this issue. Is that true?
I've heard not only from Arizona, apparently northern Arizona, you know, people have seen lots of stuff lots of times, but I've heard from people all over the whole country. About this kind of stuff.
I'm curious, and someone who's been involved in the political scene, what is your feeling about why the government officials are reacting this way?
Well, I've narrowed what it could be down to three different things.
Okay.
One is it's military.
Uh-huh.
Two is it's hoax. And three, it's something unknown. In any event, we should know. I mean, this is...
Right, I agree.
Ridiculous.
Let's take a look at your theories, okay, because I'm curious to find out where these come from.
Okay.
Let's start with the first one, the military issue. What?
I have been told by some military people and some civilians who say they are in the know. I've been given seven different explanations as to what this was.
Okay.
They said it was flares. I don't know flares that can travel 400 miles.
No.
But probably there were some down at the gunnery range because they do that a lot.
Uh-huh.
They said it was a hot air balloon, a blimp, a small plane formation, laser lights, gliders.
Okay.
And then, of course, the top-secret military operation, and that I shouldn't discuss it. Well, that was not told to me by a military person. And I said, you know, if it is top-secret and this is national security, what were they doing flying over the most densely populated...
Absolutely.
...at a time of the evening where most people were out looking for Hale-Bopp, with lights, being very obvious, it just doesn't make sense. And they can't hide behind national security, as if they wanted something secret. They should be out in the desert at 2 o'clock in the morning where, you know, if it's not something, they go sure.
Right.
And so that doesn't make sense. And if it's a hoax, I'd love to see how they did it because, from what people are telling me, it was really incredible. And then the last, of course, being something unknown, and you take all the possibilities there, which is another country invaded our airspace, well, why aren't they checking it out?
That's a good question.
And if it's something else, then, hey, we're not children. Let us know.
Okay, let's break there. When we come back, I want to find out some of your ideas about how this is weaving into your campaign for Arizona Secretary of State and some of your other reactions to this very bizarre tale.
Okay.
Mrs. Barwin is my guest. She is the former city councilwoman in Phoenix, Arizona. She's running for the Arizona Secretary of State position. And, of course, she's becoming very vocal about the UFO issue. That's not good for her, but I admire her courage. 1-800-836-2009, 1-800. Welcoming back Frances Barwood in Phoenix, Arizona. And before I go any further, I want to commend you, Frances, on your courage for what you're doing. We know from this interest that we all have in this subject that it's very difficult to get people who have any, credibility to come forward and take a stand on what's going on. And it's really admirable what you're doing.
Well, thank you. It's kind of my nature. My dad was an investigator, and he always made sure that everything was completed before he went on to the next thing, and this is kind of an undone thing.
Right. Now, I'm curious to know, how are you working this into your campaign? I noticed at the beginning of the program we talked about this. This is not one of your platforms. However, you're the first official that I know of, aside from a former president who claimed that he was going to open the files on UFOs if he was elected. But
and then he wimped out.
He wimped out.
Yeah.
How is this working out for you? How are you going to work this into your campaign?
Well, I knew they were going to hit me on it because I was told last November that if I was going to run for Secretary of State, they would just blast me on, you know, what had happened over the summer. And I decided I'll just bring it up myself. So I did. And, you know, it's an issue of government being accountable to people. We pay their salaries, and they're not answering to their bosses, which is the citizens.
Of course, the political climate that's in the country today, that might be a pretty successful thing to run under.
Well, they've done some pretty heavy, besides the articles, they've done some pretty nasty cartoons and stuff. But, you know, I guess one of the things that happens is when you are afraid of something, you tend to tease about it because it's nervousness, and I understand that.
Yeah. Now, you're saying that you've never been approached officially to be silent or to steer away from this.
Right.
Do you, from what you know so far, I mean, obviously you've talked to a lot of people from what you told us, do you have a feel for any kind of official agenda at any level about the UFO phenomena? Is it being covered up? Do you think it is?
Well, there's no doubt that they don't want to discuss it, and I did send a letter to Senator McCain, who then sent it to Lansford Trapp, the director of the Air Force, who then sent it to the Blue Book Archives. I didn't know at the time what the Blue Book Archives were, but have found out it's a filing system, and so literally they threw it in the trash.
Right.
I then sent another letter to Senator McCain, who sent it to the National Archives, which again, you know, when my assistant called, they said all they do is file, they don't investigate, and they don't even respond. So we made them respond to us, and they did send a letter back saying they don't investigate and normally don't even respond. And I thought, you know, this is really a problem. Now, Senator McCain was on our local Channel 10 here stating to them that he had tried at answers from every different department of the military and was unable to get any answer. And I thought, that's pretty sad because he's our senator.
Right.
And if he can't get an answer and I can't get an answer, well, we're just going to have to push a little harder. And I was asked last night by a reporter, you know, okay, say I get into office, then what am I going to do? Well, first of all, you know, this you know, isn't a particular issue for a Secretary of State, but it should be an issue for every elected official. They should say where they stand on all the issues, no matter if it pertains to office or not, and they should want government accountability. And this being, to me, a very important issue because you're looking at minimum public safety and maximum national security to do with our country being secure.
Right.
When I get elected, the first thing I'm going to do is have our two senators look for an answer and request an answer to this. If they can't, the next is going directly to the White House and requesting it officially.
Very good. Now, I'm curious, back to Governor or former Governor Symington.
Mm-hmm.
When you say this was out of character for him to do this, why do you think, I'm curious if you talked to him off the record privately, why did he do that?
Well, he has not returned my phone call.
Okay.
But I did briefly see him. We were in a crowd of people, and it was obvious he really didn't want to talk about anything. A lot of people have said different things to me, and I don't know what the answer is. But one of the first things that they all thought was that he made a deal and he won't go to jail. And he was convicted on 7 counts, and he's still out. Now 1 count was dropped, so it's down to 6. He's appealing. I don't know.
So you think he was pressured to do it?
It gave that kind of
feel. Yeah, I understand.
Because, you know, here is a guy with no sense of humor who was very serious at noon. So after he spent the afternoon in court, comes out and says, oh, folks, it was all a joke.
Right. I guess that angered your media people there, didn't it?
Some, but not all. Because, you know, they thought, some thought he was trying to score points, you know, by doing something cute. And he said it was just to let them know that he really did have a sense of humor, And it was, and some of them were really upset because, I mean, every single media person in town went to that because he called an emergency press conference, which he had never, ever done.
Yeah, we talked with one of your local reporters, television reporters there, who told us that he himself was pretty angry over, you know, over the deal of getting a serious call about a press conference and everybody getting there and they parade out this guy dressed up in an alien costume.
And it was his chief of staff that was in the costume, which was another really odd thing.
Right. Very, very. What, before we go to our next break, I guess real quick I wanted to ask you this. Do you think that, we're dealing with, say, aliens or alien spacecraft?
Pretty frightening. And then you think, with millions and millions and millions of planets out there, it's a terrible waste of space. So I would love to, if there is anything, I'd love to see it.
Yeah. Okay, when we go back, when we come back from break, I want to have you give out your website address and tell us a little bit about your website. So we'll get back to that in just a moment. And, of course, my guest is Frances Barwich. She's the former city councilwoman in Phoenix, Arizona. She's running for the Republican seat of the secretary. And get paper and pencil ready. And I want to say how much you've enjoyed this hour talking with Frances Barwood. Frances, before we end the hour, we've got about a, I'd say about a, two and a, about a minute and a half, 2 minutes. Tell us about your website. First of all, give out your website address, okay?
Okay. It's www.Frances, with an E-S, dash, Emma, dash, Barwood, B-A-R-W-O-O-D, .com. And it's still under construction, but the basics are there, and we'll be adding to it as time goes on.
Okay, we're going to add a link to your website as well from our site, but what are some of the things that you have on your site?
Well, it has where I stand on a lot of the issues, which don't pertain to directly to the Secretary of State's office, but it kind of gives people an idea of where I'm coming from. And then there's a volunteer sheet, and there's, I'm trying to think of what else is on there. I think that's it right now.
What about the Paradigm Research Group?
Okay, there's two other links. One is Morgana Anagram, which is Joseph Bergeron, who put together the site. And another one, which may or may not be on there right now, is to Paradigm, and that is Steve Bassett. And I've consulted with Steve about different things to do with unknown phenomena because I didn't know anything about ethically anything to do with that. So he's been a help letting me know some of the other instances that have happened. And when people bring up some things, you know, I usually ask either him or Jim Delatosa from Village Labs. And they're my source and fount of information.
Okay, very good.
And one other thing, too, is Jim Delatosa did a light spectra analysis.
Uh-huh.
On the lights that were videotaped that night and compared them to all known lights that we know of on Earth, and it didn't match at all to anything that's known, but it did match to another video of an object that was over Germany.
Very interesting.
Yeah, it really is.
Well, Frances, again, thank you very much for being on the program tonight. I wish you the best of luck in your upcoming campaign. And keep after it.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you. That was Frances Emma Barwood, and she, again, is running as the city council, or the, I'm sorry, the Secretary of State for Arizona, and a very courageous woman. That wraps it up for us tonight.